see, this is supposed to be like a fun day. You know, people are dealing with the elements.
Yeah.
We're going to, you know, get them engaged and entertained. And we got Monty is going the full Monty because we didn't have Mitch Holtis on 1290 yesterday.
Like, come on, Monty.
All right, so to make up for it, George, you'll play. It's about a 46-second clip of Mitch Holtis's final call at the end of the game last night in Kansas City.
All right, Monty.
And make sure when you save it in the system that you tag Stibbs so that he can play it later and listen to it. Maybe he'll put it on his phone.
Gotcha.
All right, let's welcome in Matt Verzal on this Monday. Hello, Verz.
Hello, Verz. How are we doing?
Good. Are you performing safe cell? Are you? We didn't catch you in a vehicle, did we?
What?
All right, well, I didn't want you to be out on the road here. The roads are, as I watched somebody slide down 50th and Dodge, I don't want you.
Oh, yeah, I'll drive in then.
Okay. All right. What
I'm too stupid and too old to be scared, Sharpie.
George, put that on the wall. That's a great line.
Got it.
That's a great line. That might even turn into a T-shirt.
Duh.
What? I'm curious on your thoughts on both games. Let's start with Green Bay, Tampa Bay. What did you think of the ending of that game?
I'm trying to figure out, number one, why Rodgers, who loves the little run in the end zone, stick the ball over the goal line, touchdown thing, didn't take off on that one. Like, it was tailor-made. Everybody, they're in man coverage. Like, there's nobody accounting for him. He's got green space ahead of him. The field goal, no way in hell I kick a field goal there. Mm-hmm. No. Not a snowball's chance to be poignant for today. I go for that because you're telling your team, hey, we're waving the white flag here. We don't have the stones to have a play. Like, that's is if you're this big offensive genius like LaFleur is billed to be, you have a play for that situation. And so now you go out and you're going to kick a field goal? Like, come on, man. Like, that's what we're going to do? But you got to give credit to Tampa Bay's defense. You got to give credit to Jason Light for building a hell of a team. And you got to give credit for Brady and Gronk for just being Brady and Gronk. I mean, those dudes are Brady is 4 years younger than me. And that dude's out there just slinging it, just dropping dimes. I mean, TB12, don't eat tomatoes, whatever it is. That's a pretty cool thing for all of us older dudes.
I mean, he has 17 playoff wins past the age of 35. I mean, that's an incredible stat to go along with all those other stats. I think it's the defense that has done its job. Guys like Lavonte David, Ndamukong Suh, Devin White, Shaq Barrett yesterday. Shaq Barrett was filthy yesterday for Tampa. Yeah.
Well, and you got blood in the water, right? Bakhtiari was out.
Yep.
So you get free run at some dude that hasn't caught many snaps this year. You're like, yeah, give me some of this. Give me this all day long.
Let's go back to the Aaron Rodgers decision, because I absolutely agree with you, and I mentioned it before we brought you on, that the defenders have their backs turned to him. And whether he can make up the ground and get to the end zone, he's at least going to set up a very intriguing fourth down call because you're at the 2 or 3 yard line. Why do you think he elected not to run in that situation?
I have no idea. Like, in my mind, I've watched that play over and over, probably 6-7 times, and I cannot figure it out because I've seen that 17 times this year just from him doing that. Okay, you're in man, great. Everybody's not looking at me. I'm just going to tippy toe in here, stick the ball across, give my double discount salute, and away we go. And so I think when you got the bitterness in the presser where he was talking about it wasn't his choice to kick the field goal or not, I think he's beating himself up for not taking off on that. Like, and you watch that is tailor-made for him to go and score. But he didn't pull the trigger. And maybe that's why you don't win the NFC Championship game and you're at home like the Bears now. George, take that.
George, would you like to respond?
Love you, Bears.
It is. So you know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Hall of Fame, and he's going to win he's going to win the MVP this year. But there is the part that the Packers have lost 4 straight NFC Championship games, and Tom Brady, Rex Grossman, and Aaron Rodgers all have 1 NFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's one guy in there that probably doesn't fit, and that might be Brady. Just kidding.
Well, okay. So I do think, in regards to Rodgers, there was some, I think McCarthy got outcoached in more than one situation.
And they had a couple of those years they had bad defenses.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And they also never really have a high priority. Now, I don't think he needs the best of the best receivers because he is such an amazing talent. But if you got him, not even another Devonta Adams, just a compliment. Like, just a compliment to him. Like, and I know they bit and pieced it in there, and they got good tight ends and all that kind of stuff, and it's their model or their mold. But, man, can you imagine him with some of the weapons that have been out there that they've mm-hmm. passed on to get other things that some have hit? I'll give him that, and some have missed. So,
well, and the other frustrating thing, and I'm trying to be really – I'm walking on eggshells around George today – is Green Bay, for me, yesterday was the better team.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not capitalize on when they got back into the game. I mean, Green Bay was their own worst enemy. I mean, Kevin King's going to have a hard time hanging around Green Bay in the offseason. But when they got an opportunity to get back into the game in the second half, Brady kept giving them opportunities. They just couldn't capitalize. But I thought for the most part, over 60 minutes of football, Green Bay was the better team that just at the end didn't make the right decision, didn't get the score, didn't win the game, and Tampa Bay's moving on.
I struggle with that because of the start Tampa Bay got out to. Like, Tampa Bay just walked that thing to that first drive. Like, it wasn't like, I think Green Bay kind of got caught on its haunches. And they were just like, hey, calm down here, boys. I don't know if you know you're at Lambeau, and we've got 45,000, 20,000 fans in here. Or 4,500, 25, or 2,000, 20,000 fans in here. So I agree with you at the end. I think at the end of the game, they woke up and they were Green Bay, but then they just pressure, what is it, you know? Damon's got that thing about pressure. It busts pipes or makes diamonds. Well, you got a couple guys drop balls. So you weren't ready for the scenario. You weren't ready for the situation. And now you're at home.
Thoughts on the game last night at Arrowhead between the Bills and the Chiefs?
I think you saw a team in the Chiefs that has the utmost confidence in literally everything that they do. Like, there is not a phase of their game that they doubt that is going to work. And that's a compliment to Andy Reid, the defensive staff, you know, and his offensive staff. I think you saw a team in Buffalo that had flashes of, hey, we can play in this, but then KC would, you know, hit Tyreek Hill on something, and you just saw crazy amounts of speed. Like,
yep.
Tyreek Hill, literally, when he gets the ball, and it's cool to watch, is four moves ahead of everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because the defensive back was trying to touch him. He's like, okay, bud, I'm just going to usher you out to the sideline. And Tyreek Hill was like, I know what you're doing. I'm going to make you feel that I'm going out there, and I'm going to put my little foot in the ground, and I'm going to hit the Jets, and you are not going to catch me. And good luck. And it was, I mean, that's, to see that kind of speed and that kind of talent is really cool. And God bless number 61 for Buffalo, who was trying to chase him. He was giving it everything he had. But big boy, there's times you just say, yep, I'm not getting that one.
I kind of come to expect that of Kansas City offensively, and that's the best they have looked for a while. I mean, that was a darn near masterpiece on offense last night. It's where the defense has come from Kansas City. Steve Spagnuolo in 2 years has really been a major difference maker. You know, they got off to a slow start last year, but this time of the year, last year, they were playing great team defense. Now, granted, they have some stars on that side of the ball, but as a team, they were playing really good team defense. They're doing the same thing this year at this time of the year, but they've been playing good defense for a while. I think a key, and it was last night, and I think it'll be in 2 weeks, is Kansas City's defensive backs are playing really well. Stephon Diggs, through the first 3.5 quarters, was absent in that game. I mean, he had 28 receiving yards in 3.5 quarters. You can't have that if you're Buffalo when you already don't have an abundance of weapons.
So we talk about this at all levels, right? People go with the iron sharpens iron. I'm a big fan of practice makes you play better. Think about what KC's defensive backs have to deal with if you go in any one versus one situation. Like, you think they fear anybody they play? It's like, bro, you should see these four dudes I got to cover in practice. Like, you are literally amateur hour to the guys that I'm going to fear. So, yeah, go ahead and run your hitch route, run your double move. I'm good with it. You're good. I go against better than you every day, and they make me look stupid, so you actually are a break for me. You make my life much, much easier. Thank you for playing. Yeah. They just, with what they have to see in practice, I can't imagine. As a defender, I would be like, hey, a hard pass. Like, they ran number 17, had a little mishap early in the game. Then they run a reverse to him, and I'm not so sure that dude isn't as fast as Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that dude hit the corner, and hey, number 62 for the Chiefs, the offensive lineman, big buddy was chugging out there. Like, he was going out in front of it. He got a 10-yard head start, and he got in the way. But, yeah, they're just speed kills, baby. Speed kills. That's a KC thing, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you know what? If you have a guy that has a big boy arm like Mahomes, you've got to build weapons around him of guys that have speed that can run down the field 50 yards on a fly route, and they're underneath the ball. So they've done all of that. That's, you know, I think they built this roster around a quarterback and his strengths and speed. There's a lot of times you cannot emulate that speed that Kansas City has, especially trying to, I mean, when Hill, you're right. When Hill gets the ball in space, and they did a great job last night. I was telling Michael this, is they had quick throws. You know, Mahomes really hasn't tried to stretch the field in their two playoff games. They've done a lot of quick throws, play fakes, just get it out in space and let Hill just kind of take off along with the other wide receivers or in the middle of the field find Kelce. But when Hill gets the ball in space, I mean, he stops, he starts, he runs forward, he runs backwards. I mean, how are you supposed to tackle him?
You can't, number one, but you have a great offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy. If they hire that McNown guy anywhere, then I would, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'd sue everybody. Like, you obviously don't like me. Because that's, I read that and I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for football. I was like, this is what we're doing. Like, this is really where we're going. Unless Eric Bieniemy just walks in and says, F you, I'm your next coach in the interview process, everybody is missing. Because what they do to get guys in space now, what you also have that makes Kansas City super deadly is that Mahomes is a selfless superstar. Because he knows the old Tommy Frazier, Brooke Barrier, Matt Turman principle. Hey, I can throw a 5-yard pass, and if they turn it into a 50-yard pass, guess what my stat sheet reads? One reception, mm-hmm. 50 yards.
Oh, yeah.
And up the whole numbers go. Like, Mahomes is not there trying to show you, hey, watch me throw this 95 yards. He's like, yeah, 10-yard route, you take it for 50, go ahead, boys. I'll get it out to you. Where would you like me to set it in your hand? You want me to hit you inside? Great. You want me to throw you back shoulder? Fantastic. You just take the ball and go run really fast and make me look really good.
Well, it's refreshing to see that after a lot of bad football and heartbreak. Super Bowl in 2 weeks will be highly entertaining. I'll get your thoughts on the Super Bowl next Monday, but quick one. What do you think of the opening line, which has started 3.5, and now Kansas City is a 3-point favorite? Sound about right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun because I have a ton of respect for Kansas City's offensive line because they're good. Fisher, I think did he end up rupturing his Achilles?
Yes,
right when he went down.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's not good. But you got 2 weeks to get ready. You got a bunch of old heads over there. Right? You got Ndamukong Suh, Jason Pierre-Paul, Tampa Bay's and Barnett, as we talked about, or Barrett, sorry. You've got a tough, like, that's going to be a tough matchup. But great equalizer in that, to me, for KC is Mahomes poised in the pocket. Like, he knows he can get out. He knows sometimes it's okay to just get sacked, not do anything crazy. How Lavonte David and White and some of their secondary hold in those underneath routes or one-on-one matchups, you know, with Kelce. I mean, I would be – if I'm Tampa Bay, I seriously look at him like, all right, Lavonte, Kelce is your guy. Wherever he goes, we're just going to make sure he doesn't catch it. Now, I'm not saying they're going to do that, but I think that would be a fun matchup to watch in that game. But then you create a problem, all right, what do we do with Hill? What do we do with number 17? So how Tampa's front four gets pressure on Mahomes to maybe get him off his spot, make him uneasy in those short underneath throws that they have. But then you got to be worried, you know, about the running backs of KC, who are by no means a slouch. So it's going to be a fun one. Whoever defense holds up better is going to win the game. Just because I like needling Kansas City fans, I'm taking Tampa Bay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, just for you.
Hey, let me get your quick thoughts here. So Scott Frost kind of had, hey, this is what I think our program is doing. What other questions you want? But I'm laying it out there what year four is going to look like when he sat down with some selected media members the other day.
Yeah.
So he's going to be more involved.
You weren't selected?
Because we were on the air at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was kind of rude. I thought they selected you.
So there would be a couple of quick questions and follow-ups that I would ask. He had an... and I don't know if, you know, some of the stuff I believe that he said, other stuff that I think he's kind of, I don't know, I don't... His discussion about Wandale Robinson and his absence and that it actually might make the offense better because they'll be able to push the ball downfield, I don't know that I'm buying that. Don't you want as many weapons as possible and your offense can adapt whether you've got a guy that plays in the slot or a guy that can you know, be downfield? I didn't get the whole of Wandale not being here and what it could actually benefit the offense. That was a little strange to me.
That was the part you took away as straight.
Well, I'm there's a lot more there, but
yeah. There's a lot to unpack in that. A lot of hills that have been chosen to protect and or die on. So I can't speak for Scott Frost. Nobody can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's making the big bucks, he's getting paid the fat cash. For me, if I was the head coach, Wandale Robinson would be on my team. And Wandale Robinson would be in the slot, and I would look at that outside linebacker or they roll down a safety, I'd say, good luck. We're going to run an option route, and your options are all going to be wrong. So whichever way you go, you're wrong. So for me, I don't think it's posturing. I don't think it's pandering. I think Scott Frost believes every word that comes out of his mouth.
He does.
That's what makes him Scott Frost. And if it's I'm not changing my coaching staff, then so be it. Like those are your choices. This is what that university has hired you to do. So if that's the way you're gonna go, then be steadfast in that. Empower all your other coaches to do their job. So you can go over and get those, you know, get that done correctly. But there are other places I would have went with that. But I just make pizza and coach offensive line.
All right, one more question here, because I think you and I are on the same page. We're still trying to sift through this stuff. I do get, Scott's very confident, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And I do, for the first time in a while, Verz, I sense... He does understand the sense of urgency for this year to be productive. Like, you can't keep selling stuff if you don't have anything on Saturday to back it up. So I do get the sense that he's got some ownership. There is a sense of urgency, but he's also majorly betting on himself that you will trust what he's saying, that what he sees and what he then tells everyone is true and is going to happen. That's a big step after the last 3 years we've seen, but good for him, because year four is on him. It is on him as the head coach in a bunch of different areas of this program for everybody to make progress and progress in the right direction, minimum being a bowl game. The other part of the conversation was Scott, as a former quarterback, is going to be more hands-on with Adrian Martinez. The quick question would be, why'd it take so long? But then let's ask it this way, Verz. What benefit do you think it'll have for Adrian that his head coach will be more involved, maybe not from the technique side, but the other parts of being a quarterback?
Well, a lot of these things, I would like some quantification to it. You know, I'm not thinking Scott Frost was not working with Adrian Martinez, even in the slightest. Now, he trusts Verduzco with his life. Like, that's his dude.
Definitely.
And he's got guys that he trusts. And that's what they're going to do with it. Scott Frost is an interesting creature because he's driven, in an essence, to attempt to prove wrong. Okay, so what he sees with his eyes is them near turning the corner, and he's steadfast in that belief. He that's the direction he's going, and you know, I hope and pray. He's right, and I hope he can shove it in everybody's face, okay? So what he sees with his eyes and what I see with my eyes are a little two different things, but I'm not there every day.
All I can see
is the product on Saturday.
Yep, that's what I said earlier. Yep, you're right.
Yep, so what he sees gives him that even stern belief, hey, this is where we're going. This is what we're doing. So maybe he's crazy like a fox. Maybe, just maybe. I think him being involved in certain phases of the game, I've beaten the horse to death. Scott Frost, special teams coach, I think changes. I think you become a top 20 special teams unit if Scott Frost is the special teams coach. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. Because the depth that they have on their roster at the positions that make special teams good are ample. Safeties, corners, tight ends, receivers. Okay? Ways to get guys on the field and not get guys letters, get guys on the field. Okay? Those are things that I don't know if there's an outside person that can just mention that. Hey, I think you got a talented roster. I really do. But we just got to, you know, kick this around a little bit, because what has happened, the product that comes out on that side of the ball, or even sometimes on the offensive side of the ball, yep, it needs more. And so those are things he's got to address. There's a lot of jobs in the world I wouldn't want. Head coach at Nebraska is probably one of them. So there's a part of me that respects the hell out of what he's doing, and that he's sticking to his guns and he's doing it his way. And there's part of me that's like, bro, you got to evaluate this. You've got to honestly sit down and say, hey, how do I improve this phase, that phase, this, you know, players not wanting to portal out? How do I fix these things? So,
yeah. Well, it leaves us.
My 2 cents. That and a dime will get you a cup of coffee.
That's why I appreciate you. There's a lot in there that we will have to hang on until we get some spring football, which is about 2 months away. Verz, as always, I appreciate it. Be safe. Have a good Monday.
Yeah, boys.
That's Matt Verzal. There's a lot from what Scott said on Friday. Remember, I've been saying, treat it like a Fortune 500 company. Did you feel that's the transition? More of a overall view? But he has pushed all the chips in on betting on himself, which is fine. I mean, we should all have a sense of confidence. But there is this sense of urgency. I do get that. Thank you. That has to happen in this upcoming year for Nebraska. All right, lots that went on over the weekend, from those comments to more from yesterday's games. Coach K and student newspapers, after you fall into 5-5, don't necessarily go so well together. We'll get into that and much more. As we roll till 2, Mike Schaefer coming up in the next hour, in this hour. Stephen Muehlheisen will join us to talk about what happened on Fight Island on Saturday night and what is ahead for Conor McGregor, among others. All still to come on a Monday edition of the Gary Sharp Show with George on 1620 The Zone.